excited for this morning, excited to for this new series. Prior to Easter, prior to Holy Week, we had been walking through Sermon on the Mount. And so we did that for a number of weeks as we walked through that line by line, things of that nature. And then Holy Week hit, and we always turn our attention to the walk of Jesus, really to the cross, but ultimately to the resurrection. And let me be very clear. Hey, I just don't want to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on a Sunday once a year. We should celebrate that reality that he lives today and every single day. And so every time we gather, we need to have that hope that he is returning and coming back. And in this meantime, his spirit is carrying us. But we live in the resurrection every single day. That's our hope today, that he lives. And so as we've done that, we're going to be turning our attention to this Faith Over Fear series that where we're highlighting a big idea throughout this whole series. And what is that big idea? That faith in Jesus not only helps us face our fears, but sustains us through them. Faith in a relationship with God not only helps us face our fears, but sustains us as we walk through them. And so let me dispel something at the front end. See, fear is not necessarily a bad thing. You see, fear, defined by the American Psychological Association, is this: a basic, intense emotion aroused by the detection of an imminent threat. Basic, intense emotion aroused by the detection of an imminent threat. And generally, what follows really is short-term reaction. If you've feared something, what happens is your body tenses up, right? Your heartbeat starts to get a little bit faster. And that is a God-created response in our humanity that informs us of something. It informs us of something. And what happens? Sometimes we fight it, we flight and run from it, or we freeze. And that's all a part of our design in that. It's a program function that helps us navigate our surroundings and what we see. But here's where fear gets dangerous, when fear drives us deeper into the fear. Where fear drives us deeper into the fear, and what happens when it drives us deeper into it, we get anxious and we start to try to manipulate and start to try to get ourselves out of it. And that's where it gets dangerous, as it drives us deeper into the fear itself. But the beauty of a relationship with God, that fear doesn't have to drive us deeper into the fear. It can drive us deeper into the heart of God, because that will help us understand and navigate it and sustain it as we walk through our fears. And so here, I want to show you a video of someone who has a very vivid response to a fear and probably borderlines on phobia. So here's a video I want to show. So that is a very vocal response to some fear of heights. Any of you fear heights? Any of you, no one, everyone's in this room is good, right? Thinking of a roof or getting on a roof or hiking a mountain and looking down, like it just causes maybe not this response, but your palms to get sweaty and like you start to think and your heart rate starts to speed up. These are aspects and realities of fears that people walk in responses. And here's a picture of the top 10 fears in America in 2024. And so corrupt government officials, right? People I love becoming seriously ill, cyber terrorism, people I love dying, nuclear weapons, biological warfare. A lot of these fears are probably programmed by all the content and news we take in as a people. Not having enough money for the future. These are the fears that exist today in our culture at large. And what I want to do throughout this 8-week series is not just address these things, but to address the personal heart level fears that we all walk in over these next coming weeks. And certain aspects, some of us do in some of these things, but like this week, I'll be talking about this idea of the uncertainty of the future. You know, fear of what's coming tomorrow. In weeks ahead, we'll talk about the fear of the evil one and Satan and spiritual warfare. That's one I'm looking forward to next week. We'll talk about that. Fear of death, feeling of your past, fear of failure. And so we will dissect each of these and how faith in God is truly the only thing that will give us rest as we face and we walk through these real fears that we all walk in. So I remember when I was 27, we found out Alexa was pregnant with our first Aurora. And if you knew me at the age of 27, I probably worshipped money just because I didn't have much of it. And I saw myself, like, every morning I would look at Yahoo News, Yahoo Finance, and it's just the way I was programmed. And I worshipped money, and God's done some heart work in me in that. But I remember after we found out I was pregnant, the next day, I mean, I was pregnant, that's weird. hey, heads up, she was pregnant. Just get some things clear there. Anyways, you just roll with these things. I appreciate you guys. Anyways, we found out that she was pregnant, and the next day I go on Yahoo Finance and I see a headline of a story. And here's what it said: the cost to raise a child from zero to college age was $380,000. I was making $40,000 at the time, and I'm like, how in the world am I going to afford this child? It's probably like $550,000 now, so sorry if you're having kids soon. But I was worried, and my palms got sweaty. I started the heart rate. Like, it was truly a fear of mine of how in the world do I do this? And I went to my stepfather that day. I remember after reading it, and I went to my stepfather and I said, hey, you've raised six kids to adulthood on a DPW salary, and my mom was a school nurse, and you raised six kids to adulthood, and how in the world do you afford it? And he gave me the simple, most profound statement: you just do. You just do. And I'm like, hold up. I need to calculate this. I need to know what if an emergency happens with a car? What if these different things happen? You just do didn't seem like it was good information. There had to be more. But as I progressed through the first few years of Aurora's life, I realized the truth of that information. Hey, you just do. But then as I walked deeper into faith in God, that piece of information, that phrasing changed for me. Because you just do is informed by what? Our effort. Our ability to provide. Our self to be in the right scenarios, to plan things. And so that definition changed for me. It says, you just do because of who is with you. You just do because of who is with you. And that changed everything. It started not having me walk in fear, but faith. So let me put that slide back up for us of the top 10 fears. Like, how many of those things is all related to the future? Like, our corrupt government officials, hey, they'll get things wrong. People I love becoming seriously ill, or North Korea using nuclear, like, all of these things, every single one of our top 10 fears has a root in the uncertainty and the unknown of tomorrow. That's where all of these are rooted in. So we as a culture are fearful of what is to come or what we can't control. Because why? We love predictability as a people, right? We love the idea of predictability, the certainty that tomorrow is going to be like today. I'll be able to go to Aldi's or Walmart or your grocery store of choice, and you'll walk in, everything's right there, and it's just on autopilot that it's just going to happen. Like, I'll wake up tomorrow, I'll go into work, I'll go through the 5-6 meetings that Monday morning brings, I'll come home, my wife will be there, Abram will be there, Aurora will be there. Like, it's all on autopilot that I think it's going to happen. But here's the problem with that. All of that is truly uncertain. You see, the name that shall not be named that I'm going to name COVID revealed that, right? COVID revealed this idea that all is really uncertain because the government, our society, our country went from going 100 miles an hour to immediately stopping overnight. And it revealed that all of this is truly uncertain. Supply chain dried up, baby formula, people were becoming animals to find, right? Same thing with toilet paper. Like, this was all uncertain. Even industries have been created out of this idea of fear of uncertainty. There's a article I was reading of this gentleman up here. I think it'll be up there. Maybe it won't. There we go. This guy is making millions of dollars because he's come up with 50 doomsday scenarios to get you to buy a bunker or a home in Utah away from all these things. He's making millions of dollars preying off the fears of people's uncertainty. Millions, there's industries that have been arrived because of this. Like, this is our culture. You see, it made me realize, maybe it made you realize during COVID that certainty really was a myth that I lived in. And some of us have been lulled back to sleep and are back on autopilot. And my heart for us is that Psalm 121, in the midst of uncertainty and unrest, should give us rest today. And how, because God is with us, and I want to point that out. But before I do, I want to go into this teaching with one simple question. One simple thing I want you to bring to mind. What is one thing that you fear in regards to your future? What is one thing that maybe causes you to shudder? Or how is God going to mend this relationship? What is it going to look like when I take care of parents in the future? What are kids going to, the outcomes of kids? What is it, my career, if my job's going to be? Like, what is one thing that right now causes you to fear about the uncertainty of tomorrow? Store that throughout this teaching, because I believe God wants to bring some perspective into that fear today. So Psalm 121, how does it open? It says, the psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So let's look at the words specifically here, right? Where is the writer looking? He's looking to the hills. He's looking ahead. He's not focused on what's behind. He's looking on the path ahead. And he's asking, hey, where does my help come from? He's on a journey of towards a hill that he's looking future-oriented in where he's going. I'm a nerd, so I like Lord of the Rings, and I think of when I read this, I think of Frodo going to Mordor to get that ring and all the obstacles that he didn't know were going to come. See, I'm a nerd. I had to bring that in. But he didn't know what battles he was going to face. He didn't know these things. And this is what the psalmist is saying. Hey, where is my help? You know, I look to the hills. Where is my help coming from? It's a future, uncertain future, an unknown future. But what he says next is significant. He says, my help comes from not just anyone. It comes from the Lord. And how does it describe the Lord? Maker of heaven and earth, the creator God. That's where his help comes from. And why is this significant for the writer? Why is this significant for us today as it relates to this fear of uncertainty of tomorrow? Because it highlights this thought. Our unknown futures are in the hands of an all-knowing God. Our unknown futures are in the hands of an all-knowing God. And here's what I mean. From our vantage point, because we are in this present moment, we don't know what's going to happen next. I was sitting this week as I pondered what was going to happen in the future and different things. And to be honest with you, there were certain things that rose up in me that caused me to be like, Lord, what's going to be written with our church family? What do I need to position? What do I need to do? And like, fear and anxiety rose up in me. And that may not be what you struggle with or what you fear, but maybe it has to do with what I mentioned before. Like, where's the finances going to come in? What is it going to look like for my parents? Like, and here's what it can cause us to do. It causes us to try to control things. We try to manipulate our current situation to position us in just the right way without asking God, hey, where's the way you have us going? And here's what that posture does over time, more and more and more. It gets us tired. We get burdened, and we try to manipulate more and more and more, and it ultimately leaves us broken because we don't know and can't control the things of the future. I'm not talking about not being organized. I'm talking about it controlling you and taking your heart and fear driving your heart. But the psalmist gives us a way forward. He says, even though I look ahead and question how is all of this going to happen, the Creator God who formed all of this, who holds all of this together, he knows our unknown futures. He holds all the cards and is writing the whole story because he's an all-knowing God. Theological, a pretty term for you here, is it talks about God's attributes, God's omniscience. It's a big word that means this idea that an all-knowing God has complete knowledge of the past, of the present, and the future. He's outside of time and inside of time, and that's the God we hold to for in Christ today. This God that holds it all, the one who made this whole place that we're in, that is our God. And if we take a moment and we know that about God, here's what it should produce in our hearts. Even with that fear that we're holding, it should give us rest. It should give us rest and an exhale of our beings. Why? Because the maker of heaven and earth, that's where he's going to be the one who helps us. And so this idea of Sabbath and rest come into play here. And there's a quote I want to share from John Mark Comer in his book, Garden City. He speaks this truth as it relates to this expression of faith. He says, that's why Sabbath is an expression of faith. Faith that there is a creator and he's good. We are his creation. This is his world. We live under his roof, drink his water, eat his food, breathe his oxygen. So on the Sabbath, we don't just take a day off from work. We take a day off from toil, manipulating, controlling, right? We give him all of our fear, all of our anxiety, all of our stress, all of our worry, and we let go. We stop ruling and subduing, and we just be. We remember our place in the universe so that we never forget, there is a God, and I am not him. There is a God, and I am not him. We are not all-knowing. We are finite, but we serve a God that we have a relationship with that is. The one who has written the story from beginning to end. And has written the story ultimately of salvation, right? The story in Jesus where we can find our rest and our home in, and who is an all-knowing God. We don't need to make our unknown futures known because that's impossible. But we can face our fears of our unknown futures and uncertain tomorrows and rest and abide because God knows in the midst of our uncertainty. You see, whether that's an outcome for a child, a diagnosis, whether that's North Korea bombing, or whatever it is, God holds all the cards. And the psalmist reminds us that our help doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from the Lord, the maker of this whole universe and story. And he's personal to us. Our unknown futures are in the arms, or in the hands, excuse me, of an all-knowing God. What else does the psalmist go on to say? And it's very important, it's beautiful. In verses 3-8, what does he say? He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let me ask you a question. What is your role in that whole thing? Where do you see us in that story? Where do you see us trying, saying, hey, you got it, you're on your own? No, it says the Lord is in control. And here's what it points out to us. The second truth I want to put before you today is our uncertain tomorrow is in the arms of a faithful God. Our uncertain tomorrow is in the arms of a faithful God. It says, he will not let your foot be moved. He will not slumber. He is your keeper. He is your shade. He's the one who will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. He will keep your going out and coming in. How long? For a moment? No. Forever. Forever. Like, these are the promises that reveal his faithfulness today. His faithfulness towards you. We just got done singing a song at the end of the set. He has good plans. Because that is who he is for those who find our home and rest in him. And this book right here, this book has an accounting of God's faithfulness towards his people. Like, in looking at the Old Testament and Moses and the exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt, what happened? They came up against the Red Sea. How? You got the Egyptians chasing behind. How are you going to move? But God faithfully promised he has his own, and he parted the Red Sea. He was faithful to do what he promised in the midst of their uncertainty of how this was going to happen. Joshua, in going into the new land, he said, be strong and courageous. Why? Because God will be with them. And what happened? He went into the land that was had. Rahab, right? When she hid the spies, he said, hey, tell your God to save me. And he faithfully saved her. And what happened? She was in the line of Jesus. God was faithful to David and Goliath. Even though Goliath David was facing, and the Israelites were facing this formidable foe, and everyone else in the Israelites cowered, David faithfully went in because he knew his God was going to be faithful to carry him and the Israelite plan through. God was faithful. Fast forward to the New Testament in Christ. In Genesis 3, God promised a reverse for the curse, and God faithfully provided his one and only son in Jesus. And to not only take on our sin, but provides the power over sin, death, and the grave in his resurrection. God was faithful in that promise. And he didn't just even leave us abandoned at that point. He gave us his spirit between now and when he comes again, that he will be with us. He didn't abandon us, but he's given us hope. He's been faithful before. He will be faithful again towards you with all of the things you're walking through and the fears you have about tomorrow, whatever they are, because that's who he promises he is. And thinking of scripture, Paul writes to the Romans a verse that if you've been in any church length of time, you've heard. Romans 8, 28 through 32 says this, and we know for those who love God, all things work together for good. That doesn't mean everything in your life will feel good, but he works all things together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. God has been faithful to do that in salvation. But what does it say in verse 31? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That's the truth about the God that we serve. You see, our uncertainties and our unknown futures and fears are real. Your concerns, the situations, the thing I told you to hold up are not invalid or diminished by God. But here's what faith in an all-knowing and faith of God should give us. It should give us confidence and rest and trust that we serve a God that has already gone before us, who holds all of our uncertainties in his hands and will work them out for our good. And we can rest and trust a faithful God, and we can faithfully worship him. I love that this is not a foreign concept to God. That we have an example, not only an example, a Savior that has gone before us, that had walked through this very real thing himself. Right? We see in the garden, we just got done talking about Holy Week, Jesus was in the garden praying to his Father. And what did he say? If you can, he was in real anguish about what was coming. He had a hill ahead, and his hill ahead was the cross. And he said, Father, if this cup can pass from me. He had a fear of tomorrow, but the fear didn't drive him. The will of the Father is what drove him, because he knew his Father was an all-knowing Father. He knew his Father would be faithful. And for the joy set before him, Christ went ahead. He endured the cross for our payment, for our sin. It didn't drive him deeper into the fear itself. It drove him deeper into the Father's hands. And his Father was faithful. And he lives today. And if that doesn't give you rest and hope that he has you and your fear about what tomorrow may bring, I don't know what can help you. But we have a founder and perfecter of our faith who has gone before us, not only as an example, but a savior today, that he will be with you as you walk and you face and sustain you through the fear of what you're walking in today. Don't grow weary. Don't grow faint-hearted, because he is with you. Continue on, church. And so one question I want to leave us with, and also a homework assignment, because I like homework assignments, all right? One question I want to leave you with. Take that one thing that I asked you. What is that one real fear about the future that you have? How does faith in an all-knowing and faithful God change that one thing you fear about the future? How does knowing that God is in full control, God is faithful to accomplish the promises, and has been faithful before and will be faithful again, how does that change how you position your heart with what fear you really walk in? If it doesn't, I'd question you to go back to your foundation and say, do you really know him? But it should cause our hearts to give a little more rest and faith that God is with us even as we face it. He will work it out. And so here's the homework assignment for you. I want you to read each day this week Psalm 121. I want you to write down that one fear that you have put before and then pray that the truth of Psalm 121, of where the help comes from, overlaps and overcomes that fear that you've been walking in. And invite the Spirit of God to change your hearts throughout this week, day by day. Invite him into that and see what God does to your heart, to see if he gives you rest and confidence and trust as you walk and in and through that. Church, let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you that you are the maker of heaven and earth, that you have made our lives, that you have made everything that we sit in today, that you have made this whole story, and you hold the whole story. Nothing surprises you. Our futures are known to you, and we can rest if we are in relationship with you, that you are working all things out. It may not feel good in the present moment. We may have some anxiousness that is arising, but God, we can rest and have confidence today that you continue to go before us and you hold all of the cards. And God, you have given us not only an example, but a savior who can sympathize with what we walk in. But he faithfully continued on because of the joy set before him, and that if we put our faith and hope and trust in Jesus, we can accomplish and walk through these things in hope. And God, I pray for everyone's fears about what tomorrow brings or what one thing they stored up, to let them know that they can rest today and not toil. They don't have to manipulate, but they can have confidence in a Father who loves them and has provided a way in Jesus. God, we love you and are grateful that you've gone before us and you hold the whole story better than we can. You are the Lord of Lords, and we submit to your story today. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, let us stand in response to the word today.